This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Raph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. All right, Project, welcome back. Today, we are going to talk about small niggles. Now, what is a small niggle? We can define that as just like, I guess, a very early stage injury coming through, a chronic injury. We're going to get into today why you need to get on top of them. If you've ever had an experience with a niggle before, you know how serious it can get. So today, this is really an injury-based podcast. We want to give you guys, shed some light on the niggles and how you guys can stay on top of them, save yourself a lot of money in the future. Before we dive into today's episode, one of the things you can actually use to kind of prevent injuries is the Whoop band. And you ask, well, how can a band around my wrist tell me that? Well, you only really get serious chronic injuries when your body is under-recovered, right? When it doesn't have the resources to heal itself, when damage is compiling on top of damage without a proper adaptation and healing process. Best way to think about it, right? If you go into the sun, you want a tan. The worst way to do it is you're going to get sunburn every day, right? You're never going to get a tan. You're just going to keep peeling. So the Whoop band is kind of like telling you how tanned you are in some ways. It's like, okay, that's because you can't see inside your muscles, right? I mean, there's some intuition about how you feel, but the Whoop band is a number that says, hey, today is not a day to push yourself. Today is a day to recover, to slow down, to pull back the intensity. And you compound that knowledge, you compound that instructions or those instructions from the band over time. And what you get is you get lower injuries. And it's not just us telling you this through our intuition and our anecdote. This is actually data. This is research data that Whoop has used. So they've done clinical trials where people wear Whoop bands, they adjust training programs based off the Whoop band intensity, and other people that don't, and the group that doesn't, they just kind of trains based off what the program tells them and how hard they want to push themselves every day. They get injured more often. So it's an amazing tool to help prevent injuries if you follow the training guidelines and the personalized, individualized guidelines that the algorithm gives you. You guys can pick up a Whoop at themindmuscleproject.com/whoop. You'll get a mad deal there. And then, of course, as always, we're getting you guys sick deals. If you want a really high quality greens powder to have in the morning, like there's, you know, we've done a few episodes on supplements, and one of the supplement groups that we say you absolutely have to have is a greens powder every day. Maybe you got your own brand that you like, maybe something that works really well. We've tried them all. And really the best one that we found is Activated Nutrients, which is why we've maintained the partnership with them basically since the birth of the podcast. At this point, it's going on, what, 5 years?
Like that the podcast was born.
We're born together.
Since we gave birth.
So we've been in partnership for 5 years. They're a great company. Easy. Yeah, awesome products. Everyone that gets them always says, oh, you know, I hate the taste of green powders, but then they tried this one, they really liked it. So if you ever have hesitations on the flavor, I encourage you to get a sample and try it. It actually tastes fine. It's really good. We always have it on the road. When we're traveling, it's a must have for us every day. So you can pick up the top up product. That's the greens powder we're talking about. The top up for men, the top up for women at themindmuscleproject.com/activatednutrients. You'll find a discount code and a link there that'll take you straight to that product so you can buy it straight away. All right, cool. So before we jump into, I guess, the breakdown of niggles and pain and how you guys can treat them, we want to share a story with you. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast for any extended period of time, you know that Raph and I have a history of chronic knee pain. It's probably the most serious injury that we've both endured. Now, Raph, I think you should start with your story because you actually ended up in surgery.
Yeah, Storm, I think that it's interesting because if I didn't have all the injuries after this first time I got knee pain, I would have forgotten it. But I think because it goes down the way, then like you always remember the first time you had a bit of pain. Because I probably had other pain, like a little bit of shoulder pain, but nothing came of it, so I forget.
Right.
But I still remember walking up the stairs, really only been doing CrossFit for a few months. But I think that, you know, I had probably a tendency that I could get knee pain with the support I was in before, but I didn't have the intensity and the volume to actually bring out the pain. Then CrossFit started, I got that tenfold. Walking up the stairs in the gym, I'm like, oh, like my knee sort of hurts, like just going up the stairs to the gym. I'm like, that is weird. But when these things are small, you warm up, nothing, right? Basically, by the time I stepped in the gym, it was gone. I was like, oh, it's like a stair thing.
Yeah.
What's the problem? What's the problem with a stair thing?
I don't need stairs.
Nothing to worry about. And then all of a sudden, it's like a little bit worse. And I was like, oh, now I can only really do RDLs. I can't really do squats anymore. And then within 2 weeks, I was booked in for a surgery. Fine. You know, and that's the way it goes. And then I went through basically the exact same process again.
That was a meniscus surgery, right?
Meniscus surgery. But then I went through exactly the same process after the surgery. All good again. Little bit of knee pain on this Grace workout. And I was like, ah, it's a bit annoying, you know, same knee again. And then same thing again, you know, all the way through. Didn't have surgery, obviously second time, but kind of still dealing with it now. But what's interesting is just that it always starts with a tiny tap on the shoulder.
Yeah. It's that first indication, right?
And then it is a sledgehammer to the face.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have the history of squatting that you'd had. I mean, by the time you started CrossFit, you would probably put in, what, 6 or 7 years of squatting?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least. Man, by the time when I started CrossFit, I reckon I'd done maybe like 2 years of squatting. Mm. The range of motion wasn't a change for me. I was always squatting really deep. It was, I know for you, was range of motion was a big change. But for me, it wasn't a big change. For me, what really changed was the amount of intensity and the volume. Like, I reckon I was probably squatting like maybe 70, 80 kilos when I first started, like max. And that was for like, you know, 5 or 6 reps, maybe 10 reps, because I wasn't really doing like the... Because I think the one thing that I did very differently in CrossFit was I do maxes. Mm. Never did maxes before, so right?
We max every day.
Yeah, it was always like German volume training, 10 by 10
yeah.
or something, right? So I've gone in and I've started doing these squats and, you know, I'm really trying to get strong. So I'm like, I'm doing like the craziest squat programs. Mm. Like probably the most popular one at the time was Smolov, right? Smolov was, what was the protocol for Smolov?
Oh, it's kind of, it's not that crazy, but it's more that I think
it's 5 days a week.
No, I think it was 4 days a week.
4 days.
It's four That's days still a week, lot but it's squatting. A lot. I can't remember the exact protocol. I just remember it finishes with 10 sets of 3, and it takes you like 1 hour minimum to get through that 10 sets of 3.
Yeah. So there's that, but then there's also like, okay, now later that day, I'm going to do a rowing and wall balls workout, and then I'm going to do thrusters, and I'm going to do this, and you don't really think about it at the time because you don't have any pain, and then all of a sudden, like you said, it's like a little tap on the shoulder. It's like, oh man, it's like under my kneecap's like a little bit sore. You go see a physio. They're like, it's nothing to worry about. Don't worry. Like, it'd be good. Just like pull back the volume a little bit. You're like, yeah, cool. Nothing to worry about. Increase the volume. And then it's like, it gets a little bit worse. A little bit worse. But the thing is, you can still train. Mm. So it's like, okay, well, this can't be that much of an issue because I'm getting stronger. I'm getting better. And the pain's not getting that much worse day to day. But month to month, it's getting significantly worse. And then one day you kind of realize like, oh, I finished this workout and like, I can't really bend my knee properly. And gotten to the point, maybe like, you know, a couple of injections in 3 or 4 years later, that if I was to do a certain workout, I would be like, okay, I need to be prepared for the next 48 hours that I pretty much can't do a squat, an air squat. So I'd go into classes and I'd make clients demo the squats because I could not load my knee. That's how bad it got. And I was not, it's not an uncommon story, right? It's to get that much pain that you can't bend your knee or load your knee, but it's just something you kind of put up with. And we're here to warn you ahead of time. It's not good. It's not good because, you and I still deal with some, you know, residue or leftovers from that severe knee pain.
Yeah, I would say every time you go through that process of a small niggle turning into, you know, a 1 year, 6 month plus sort of niggle, I generally think there's always permanent damage.
Yeah.
So, that's like you get out of the injury 100%, but there's always permanent damage. You are always more susceptible. It's never the same again. And that's cool. Like, you know, you finish your life, you beat up. Good. You had like a good life. But that is the reality. That's why everyone, but all like, oh, my elbow, my knee, my this, because you're just accumulating injuries over time.
Yeah. There's actually a good book called The Body Keeps Score. I haven't read it, but I know there's a lot of these concepts in the book that the body talks about. This injury communicates with this compensation that leads to this thing.
It's never
just
the same.
Yeah. Just things happen, right? Over the course of your life and your job, you know, commanding this vessel is to educate yourself to best look after it. And then we're here to kind of help you, guide you through that process. So I guess really the one thing that we see is the cause of these injuries, and there's really nothing else to put it down to, is like attitude and stubbornness. If you just didn't have that, if we didn't have that stubbornness that like, no, I love this, I want to push through it, or like, oh, no, I'm ignoring it, I'll deal with it later. If we didn't have that attitude, I'd say a lot of us would be less injured. We'd be like, hey, this is bad. I'm going to rest it. I'm going to look after it. I'm going to rehab it. I'm going to stop it. It's only until you've had lots and lots of serious injuries that you realize, oh, I don't want to add another one to the list, right? It's only through that experience. Unfortunately, pain is the best teacher, right? So we use pain. We use discomfort sometimes to remind ourselves, oh, let's not do this again. Now, if you are more intellectual, if you want to get out ahead of this sort of stuff, you realize that if you're being stubborn on an injury and you keep training through it, we're here to tell you that it's going to make it a lot worse in the future. And like Raph said, do some permanent damage.
Yeah, and I'd say an attitude shift that you can have is that, and this is, I'm really more in this camp, which is just, you get a little niggle, you just want to get out of the niggle. Out of the niggle, job done, right? Move on. Then there's another camp, which is getting more popular now, which is like, no, I don't want to just get out of the niggle. I want to be like crazy bulletproof. And that is a next level that you can start to think about going, which is like, man, I've had, like, I've got a bit of knee pain. Man, I hate this. I don't want to do this. I'm going to like really invest on how do I make my knees not only get rid of this knee pain, but make them crazy strong. Same with the shoulders. You know, the other shoulder, but I want to get, you know, awesome rear delts, lower traps, rotator cuff. I'm doing like 30 kilo rotator cuff exercises. And then you just really get into the bulletproofing. And that's an attitude thing. Mm. Right? I'm not saying it's for everyone, but I'm just saying attitude. You can take the attitude of like, no, I want to be bulletproof.
Yeah. It's like runners that stop running and then get back to running when it stops hurting. Or
which
runners,
is not 95%.
Yeah. Or the runners that are like, okay, cool, I don't want to do that again. And they look, strength training program, knee bulletproof program for runners.
And yeah. They decide, you know, I love running, so I'm going to invest time and energy into getting crazy more strong through the tendons and ligaments than anybody else.
Yeah.
Just so I can enjoy this the rest of my life.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's probably, you know, there's probably a lot of carryover as well into this professional sporting field. Mm. You know, the guys that like invest in strength conditioning and rehab and recovery protocols and wear whoop bands and stuff, you know, their careers last longer than the guys that are like, no, bro, I just like drink piss and get out there hungover and I just smash people.
It's a shorter lifespan.
It is. It is. And it's lazy. It's just lazy. Lazy and ignorant. Okay, so then there's two types of niggles. There's an acute niggle and there's a chronic niggle. And I think that is like, you know, when we talk about acute injuries and chronic injuries, you usually use the extreme. So you're like, oh, acute, like broke my arm.
Car accident. Yeah. Never happens.
Yeah. Or there's like chronic injury, like, oh yeah, like crazy, like we just got a crazy knee pain that's built up over 10 years from like over, like doing way too many back squats. But there's actually, you know, you can define niggles in two camps. They still exist. It's not only, chronic injuries aren't the only ways that you can, or chronic pain isn't the only way that you can get a niggle. Like, you can get a little niggle in your shoulder. For example, like when I do boxing, you know, the other day I threw a punch, I wasn't quite warm, and like I gave myself a tiny niggle in my shoulder. And I finished a session and I'm like, oh, that niggle's still there. That wasn't from overuse. That was from just kind of throwing it the wrong way a little time. Maybe you strained it a little bit and it's like, okay, but now if you keep throwing that punch, that's going to make it worse. Whereas if you never really got, you know, you kind of didn't throw that thing a bit weird or whatever, then there wouldn't be an issue. It's not a volume thing. It's just like in that particular time, you weaken the structure because you did it the wrong way. So it's still a niggle. It still presents like a niggle, but it came about a different way. Whereas you could get that exact same pain, but it wasn't from throwing it one time, not warm properly. It was from throwing it 100 times. And then the next day you woke up and it was a little bit sore, but you threw it 100 times the next day. But so those are two important ones to define. Look, the end result is kind of the same. Like you still, the protocol of treating it is still the same, but it's just important to know where it came from, because sometimes maybe you are doing everything right in the deadlift or whatever, but for just this day or whatever, you didn't quite warm up properly. Maybe you weren't hydrated. You twisted a bit weird. You're a bit distracted when you pulled and you hurt your back and you think, fuck, maybe my technique's wrong. So you go and change all your technique. Well, no, your technique was fine. You just kind of like fucked up in that moment and it's cool. Reset, start again. Or was it, I do the same technique every time and this back pain's slowly creeping in. That's more of a chronic way to get a niggle.
Yeah, and I think usually you can tell the difference, because usually acute, you can kind of pinpoint the rep or the exercise.
Yeah.
You know what? I was like doing that and I'm pretty sure I like kind of twisted and something was like ping on my back. That's an acute one.
Yeah.
You know, and it can often come when you're doing a lot of volume, but it also just come because you twisted a bit weird.
Yeah. Right?
You get an acute injury. They are respected, but less to worry about. Chronic is often, I don't really know when it started.
Yeah.
You know, I think I just kind of noticed after sessions, I would notice it. Or in the mornings, I would notice it. That's often where it's chronic. You need to take more effort to fixing those.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really think a really common one as well is like when people run and they start sprinting. That often happens, right? It's like, no, you're good at running. You just like all of a sudden try to like double down on your speed today because you're feeling really good. You weren't quite warm. You haven't been at that speed for a while. Oh, you kind of strained your hamstring a little bit. Nothing to do with your running form.
All good, bro.
Try to sprint today. Just warm up a bit more before you sprint next time. Okay, so really now, what is the doorway to improving? Like, how can you look to get it? Now, we touched on bulletproofing. That's obviously one of them as well. But I think, you know, starting with, okay, what is the reason that this injury started? Now, if it's an acute thing, we kind of, like we just described, we're going to kind of ignore that one a little bit, try not to make that error again. But if it's chronic, there are some reasons here that it's coming up. And the main reason is you're just overloading that structure. Now, that could be through technique. The way that you're hinging at the hip is loading your back in a certain way. Maybe you need to change how you hinge, how you brace. And the other thing is just your programming, your volume. You just could be hitting that structure way too many times in a week that your body can't tolerate it, can't recover from it. And then you make the adjustments based off whatever that is. Okay, we need to fix your technique. Doesn't look that good. You're going to change this. Or, back's hurting too much. We're going to change the program a little bit. And really, I think that's where the coach comes in, right? Mm. The coach looks at it and be like, it's not a form thing. I think you're just doing too much volume. Or it's like, this isn't that much volume. Shouldn't hurt your back. It's a form thing. You know, that's really the two distinctions to make. Would you add anything?
Yeah, I think if you just take a really open mind to injuries, you can get a lot out of them. So often what I'll see is you get a niggle, you get another niggle, you get a third one. Then you go, you know, I'm kind of noticing that like they're all on the same side. Maybe it's not a coincidence. And then you start to realize, okay, stop worrying about the ankle, stop worrying about the knee, stop worrying about the hip. Let's just, maybe I'm just twisted, you know, and you start looking into it and you realize, oh, it's like something like coming from the hips or the shoulders, you know. So when you start to see patterns in niggle injuries, that can be a great opportunity to realize that, you know, there's imbalances there. And if you fix those imbalances, not only will you fix your injury, but you'll get better at all your exercises long term.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's very valuable. These, you know, you learn these lessons, you apply them to the next injury or the next thing that's going to happen, because if you train and you train hard and you train to change your body, they're inevitable, right?
Guaranteed.
It's gonna happen in some way or another.
Taxes, death, injury.
Inevitable. Yeah. So what you have to do is you have to have the tools ready to address it. Okay, was this a form thing? Was this a program thing? And yeah, how am I staying open-minded about this to look at ways that I can change and improve in the future? Now, let's talk about, as we kind of get into the close of this one, a worst case scenario. What happens if you kind of just leave it? What if you kind of just think, you know, my ankle blew up at the start of this Ironman. I'm going to do another 95 days straight of Ironman. What is the long-term consequences? Is it just like, man, I'll just kind of always be at this level of pain because, you know, to some degree, tendinosis, tendonitis, the chronic tendon issues, like they're bad, but they don't get so excruciating that you can't go through daily life. You know, if you're being reasonable and managing it, if you're obviously pushing it to the nth degree, it gets excruciating. But what is the worst case scenario that could happen from a chronic?
Well, I think, the worst case scenario is seriously, seriously bad. And that is where you just have a really, really long-term pain, negatively impacts your mindset. You're having to look at surgeries and all sorts of options. Often, even from that, you start changing the way you move to compensate for that injury, and it leads to a whole host of other injuries, which is super common, and it can really completely shift your trajectory in a negative way for your health. It's like, it sounds really bad, but that does happen, you know, from this. A general rule I always live by, which is the longer you've had a pain, the harder it is to get rid of. That's just the way it is, right? If someone's like, oh, the shoulder, how long has it been niggling? Ah, 4 years. I'm like, well, we're not going to fix today.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to take a long time. Because it's not only the actual pain, it's the mindset around it. You know, you're going to have to redo your confidence and your mindset with those movements. So it's something that you want to take very, very seriously. And one of the worst things you can do is just get overconfident, because very often you'll get 3 or 4 little niggles and they'll just go away and you won't do anything. So you get this overconfidence. You just go, oh man, you know, I don't know how to deal with this thing. You just you just push, you know, and they go away. And that happens 3 times, 4th time, doesn't happen.
And then all of a sudden the playbook's not working.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you touched on it really well there. It's like, obviously, besides the fact that you could end up under the knife, or you could, you know, potentially end up in some therapy or, physical therapy for a long time, is mentally you check out of health and fitness, right? You're like, nah, you know what? And we see it all the time, right? Nah, my back, if I try and train, like, fucks my back. So I just, you know, I don't do anything.
And then you're fat.
Yeah, exactly. Or you hate yourself.
Yeah,
because you don't have a stress relief, right? You don't have exercise we know is good for the brain. So yeah, what you get is you get this really, really negative attitude towards training, health and fitness, the gym. And so that, I think, is one of the worst case scenarios. Is then it's not like, at least the person that's like in surgery is like, all right, cool, and I can't wait to get back and keep trying. But some people, they just get to the point where it's like, man, I always get injured, this, that, so I just think it's better not to do it at all. Now it's like, well
like, I just swim. Let's do breaststroke.
Well, I guess that's at least something, but some people give up completely, right? Or maybe the person breaststroking fucking hates breaststroke.
Yeah, they just do that. Their bone density sucks because they don't load the body in any way. Yeah. And they probably don't look very good.
Yeah. And they miss the stuff that they like doing.
Breaststroke doesn't get you jacked.
No. Yeah. Unless, I don't know, you're freaking
breaststroking
nature.
Through unless cement.
Through heavy mud. But yeah, then you just kind of check out of looking after yourself. And that's the worst thing that could happen, right? That's, you know, not looking after yourself anymore. And then who knows how bad that could end up. But I'd say to kind of wrap this conversation up, the last thing is probably worth talking about is, and for those of you out there that, you know, are on a budget or very, very financially conscious, is like, it gets expensive looking after niggles.
Mate, niggles are much more expensive than people think. It's because you often become price insensitive, so you don't worry about the price too much because you're in pain. But when you actually think about it, if it was something else, you'd be like, man, this is expensive. You can easily spend, you know, a little niggle can end up being a couple $1,000s.
Easily.
Some surgeries plus that, you know, times that by 3 or 4. You know, and it really adds up. Obviously, at the time, you're like, I need to do it because I'm in pain. But it it ends up actually adding up a lot of money when really you could have just saved all that money if you just weren't so stubborn.
Yeah.
And just didn't make it worth at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. You can save yourself a lot of money. I mean, if I hate to think of the investment I've spent in my niece,
yeah.
But it's extortion basically. And it all just came from being too stubborn. It just came from like being too hard headed, like wanting to push through it, thinking I'm smarter, but you know, at some point there is going to be some expense, right? If it's at a point, you're going to have to make an investment. Maybe you just don't know enough yourself. You're like, oh, you know, I've tried a few things. I listened to the podcast. I tried this program. It's not better. I need to see an expert. Yeah, you're investing. But there are things that, you know, are causing you to keep doing that investment.
Yeah, if you need to keep going to the chiro and physio, because every time you get a niggle, you don't respect it. It's stupid.
If it's a good physio chiro, 2 or 3 sessions in, they'll be like, cool, here's the program to fix it. Here's what to do. This is what it is. Do that, you'll be fine. And most people don't. That's why it's never fine, right? It's easier to just book that 1 hour session in, get a bit of needling, get a rub down, feels better for a couple hours, take some pain meds, continue. Hey, if that's how you want to live your life, you want to be lazy, if you want to just keep spending that money, then that's why we have chiros and physios that need to get paid, right? So, but if you want to just like get out of pain and bulletproof yourself, you need to follow some of the stuff we talked about earlier. That's the only way out of it. Strength training is like the only way to fix this stuff. All right. Hopefully, that gives you guys a new perspective, a different way to think about it. And look, I encourage you, if you have been dealing with chronic issues like this before, you also might need a better program. So if you guys check out the mymuscleproject.com/programs, right now in July, if you purchase any program, we will give you a Whoop band and a month free of Whoop when you sign up. Now, it's just really important for you guys to understand that, you know, when you do these programs, we are balancing them really well. You know, like we are making sure that, you know, they're avoiding overloading any structure and joint. So if you've done programs in the past and you get injured doing them, it might be the program. You know, it might be at that point. And I've built these programs, Raf's built these programs, the team's helped to build these programs so that they work to strengthen you but also bulletproof your body. And especially the Project Body program. So definitely give that one check that one out. So themindmuscleproject.com/programs is where you guys can check all those out. All right. Hopefully, as always, that was helpful. And guys, we'll speak to you all next week.
Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the Mind Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the Mind Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.